my little problem, man. This little problem.
Man, we can make a big deal about the thing or the king, huh?
Come on.
Make much of the thing or the king. And it's a fight. That's part of the fight of faith. Part of the fight of faith. Making much of the king or the thing. And sometimes we get imbalanced in that, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. It's always a challenge to watch those you love.
Yeah.
Become frail. And a challenge to see it unfold, and you pray for healing, you pray for grace, you pray for mercy, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, God's grace, no doubt, is always sufficient to carry us through. And there's often times that His grace permits healing at the same time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that healing is not in the physical sense,
yeah,
but just the breakthrough of trust, of clinging to Him and the hope that He brings,
yeah,
in that. All right, anything just stand out to y'all? Y'all just want to give one little nugget away in your time. And we're about to wrap up in Genesis. We're up to chapter number 45. But what a great testimony that we've been reading of God's unwavering faithfulness, and how He has preserved His people, and how He did it, why He did it, and what He's doing. But if there's something that just really spoke to your heart, that helped you, Joseph is now in chapter 45, of course. He's letting his brothers know who he is. And we're 22 years into the time from when they sold him. As a slave, 22 years has gone by. He was 17 when they sold him, 30 years old when he was elevated to the throne, when he interpreted that dream and Pharaoh put him over the nation. Then they went into those 7 years of harvest, and now he tells them they're in the second year of the famine. So that's a 22-year period. So Joseph went from being 17 to 39 years old in that time frame. And there's so many applicational principles throughout all these things that we're reading on, that are just everyday living experience of how God gives us just neat little things. Neat little things all the way through it. Things that if we're not careful, we'll miss, just because we're not really necessarily looking for it. And sometimes we're looking at the big picture of it and can miss some of the little fine line things that are underlining all through it that can really help. Something that stood out to me, well, and it's a few chapters back. There's two different times in our reading in Genesis that it deals with stewardship. I mean, more than that, but with stewards, people who were loyal stewards, servants. One to Abraham. Remember that guy, that Eliezer, that older servant that he sent to go get a bride for Isaac?
Yeah.
And just the heart of that man, how he wanted to bless Abraham and bless Isaac. He never made it about himself. And how he prayed and asked God to make his path clear. Not for his necessary well-being, but really it was more about his master. And he always referred to Abraham as his master. And he always referred to Isaac as his master. That he was there as a servant, as a loyal, faithful servant. And just that picture of stewardship with us, that God's given us a stewardship to be loyal to the call, to be loyal to go win or let, you know, He sent them back to His people, just like Jesus sends us to people.
Amen.
And says, go let them know that I've got a son who is ready for a bride. And that's exactly what the Father does with us, you know, sending us, and we just be faithful, loyal to to give him the credit and want to honor him and serve him. But there was another in chapter 35, just a little glimpse. Remember when Rebekah left her father's house, the scripture says she took a nurse with her. And the scripture says in verse number 8 of chapter 35, just this little picture. Now, Rebekah's already died. She's going on. But it says, now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth, or the oak trees. So the name of the place was called Alon Bukoth, which means the oaks of weeping, is what it boils down to. But just that one little verse there, verse number 8. Rebekah's nurse, Deborah, died. Now think about that for a moment. Because Rebekah stayed with Isaac when Jacob left. When did Deborah find herself going back to her homeland? Because remember, that's where Jacob went. Jacob went to Bethuel, Laban, and all that. That's where this nurse was from. Did she leave? Now, these are some of the things we just don't know. But did she leave? Did she leave when Rebekah died and went back home? But when Jacob left her homeland, it's obvious she went with Jacob. She left with him because she's with him when she dies and they bury her somewhere else. They don't bury her in her homeland. Or did she, when Jacob left, did she go with Jacob? He find Rachel, got tricked with Leah, married Rachel, spent 20 years with Laban, and then leaves. And Deborah, because of her loyalty to Rebekah, and now Rebekah's son, instead of in her older age staying with her people and dying among her people, she traveled and left with her and died on the journey of going with Jacob. It just speaks of a stewardship to me. It speaks of a loyalty to a person, that she stayed loyal and faithful, and that she was obviously greatly loved and adored by Jacob and the whole entourage, so that they name a place after, a place that they refer to, a place of weeping, because of great weeping in her death. But it just speaks to me. It's in that same picture. You got Abraham Stewart, and now you got Rebekah Stewart, her nurse, who stayed with her all those years, who then went with her son, and was even willing in old age to leave her own people and her family after all those years of being gone. Now she comes back. She spends 20 years with them. Instead of getting rooted and staying right where she was at, she travels with Jacob and his two wives and his children, and then dies on the journey. It's just something about that just speaks to me. She went with Jacob, but stayed with Jacob when she left her home. In our modern day, when there's can be such a lack of loyalty to not just people or body, but a lack of loyalty to Jesus in general. These things just speak volumes to me, you know, of when we really contemplate this loyal steward, that number one, she left her home to go with Rebekah to go marry Isaac. She eventually goes back to her home, but then chooses to leave that home again and dies in the journey. And that's just, you know, Abraham was the same way. He left his home. God told him, come out among you where you're from and among your people, and I'm going to give you something. And I'm going to make you a nation. And he was loyal. He followed him. He went where he led him. And then we see Abraham say, look, I don't want my son to marry any of these Canaanites, but you can't take him back home. Go get him a bride and bring him here. you know. And then we see his steward being so faithful. Now we see Rebecca Stewart being so loyal and faithful in the journey of walking with him. So, I mean, that's just one of those little things, what I'm saying, that we could easily kind of just overlook and miss, but it just speaks of faithfulness to me. Just be faithful. Be faithful in the little things.
Amen.
Be faithful in the little things. And what a difference it makes with the big things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got a lot we'll talk about in the service of where we up to. Going to do a little recall on some stuff we've gone over before. But that's the neat thing about going through these things, that we want them to be part of our everyday life, the fabric of our being. We want to know them. Because what we know and walk in is going to make an everlasting difference in our everyday life and the lives of other people. Amen and amen. We had a good study Wednesday night on about droughts and famines, just some things that Joseph pointed out. Of the further we get away from the plenty, the good, in the season of a drought and famine, the more forgetful we get of how gracious and good and gentle and kind God's been to us in the past. And it's easy to get there.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Got to keep our eyes on Him. And, you know, droughts can be localized. And it don't take long for certain elements in society, certain elements in our environment, to start withering, wilting when it gets lack of water and lack of rain. And there may not be a famine or a drought going on around everywhere, but an individual could be going through a drought and going through a famine. And they start indicating that by how quick they forget how God's been, how gracious and what He's done and where He's brought them through. And instead of reminding people of what He's done, they're needing to be constantly reminded of how good He is. And that just lets us know we see somebody in a season of a drought. You know, they're withering. And we want to be those waters who pay attention to where people are and help people, you know, be a blessing to them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love y'all.
Amen.